This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, happy Tuesday to you. It'll last for about a half an hour. Is that about right?
Sounds about right.
Then after that half hour's over with, we'll go back to happiness and joy. What? Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. For him, he should be at least a little happiness and joy.
Oh, once they get routed by the Dodgers in six games, I mean.
Yeah. That's for next week.
I mean, my goodness. He's going to be jumping up and down that Nestor Cortez is back. He couldn't pitch in a Little League game right now. All right. Come on. Well, telling you, it's... Dodgers went with bullpen games. Like, hey, we're good. It's like, I mean, Giancarlo Judge. That's our new nickname for him. Because Stanton's hitting so well now. He has been great, so somebody's got to take the Giancarlo role. Guess who it is? Carlo Judge, our guy.
I see those Dodgers. The Dodgers have to do bullpen games in the championship series and the World Series. And I remember, I think we were either talking to Tim or Bob in the preseason, and we wondered if they had too much starting pitching.
Yeah, now it's like,
guess not.
I think didn't it start? Well, first of all, with Yamamoto was one, but then it was May.
Yeah, and then Glasnow.
And Tyler got hurt, and it's like, geez. Glasnow would have been the other state college spike in the World Series. Already got Tommy Edmond, and they've got Clay Holmes. A couple of interesting notes. Here's one for you. The WNBA... And this is under the category of strike. Oh, geez. Embiid to miss first week. Really? George out for opener. Oh, the optimism. How about that? Well. By the way, bettors backing Bronny as long shot rookie of the year pick. I think long shot's a good way of putting it. So, the WNBA Players Association has announced that they're going to opt out of their collective bargaining agreement. But the opt-out is a year from now. It's not, you know, they're not going to go on strike next season or anything like that. The opt-out is a year from now. And I don't blame them. They want to strike while the iron's hot. That, you know, that's fine. I got it. But in the article that I'm reading about, the opt-out, Kelsey Plum, who's a terrific player, says, we want transparency. Now, they do have a new 11-year, $2.2 billion deal. So it's $200 million a year. So each team's going to get about $13.1, $13.2 million. Per year, because they're going to expand to 15 teams. So you got to divide it by 15. Okay. And the and so that's fine. That's a huge advancement, no question. But for example, a utility infielder for the Dodgers makes $13 million, right? Just to give you some perspective. But that's a step in the right direction. Attendance has been up, step in the right direction. TV ratings up, step in the right direction. But Kelsey, I'm not so sure you want full transparency. Why?
I still believe they lost 40 million.
Oh, they lost a bundle of money.
I was going to say like 40 million.
Right? And again, it bursts the bubble when you hear that. It's just the way it is. Let's do something simple. Simple. You are the, let's pick one, the Minnesota Lynx. Right? How much do you think it costs to rent the Target Center? Just to rent it. You have to do that how many times a year? I mean, something as simple, like people don't realize, like, they just think the arena, oh, the team owns the arena, the whole thing. Nope, they don't own the arena. It's like the Chargers don't own SoFi Stadium. They rent it from the Rams. The Rams own the stadium. Okay? So in cases like Jerry World, SoFi with the Rams, with the Cronkies, with Gillette Stadium, Robert Kraft, they own the stadium. But they're just everybody else, either the city runs it, or in this case with the Chargers, the Chargers have to rent every time they play a game at SoFi. They have to rent it every time. Okay. Well, that's just a simple thing. Right? There's just more expenses to this than people realize. And the NBA has been subsidizing the league since day one. They've been subsidizing the league. A lot of NBA owners 5-6 years ago are like, do we want to keep doing this? And they hung in, and it's starting to pay off. But they're losing a boatload of money. And that's the last thing they want to talk about. I mean, every article, I've only seen one article this year written about the WNBA finances. One. Because everybody is really hesitant to do it. Because they don't want to burst the bubble. And I understand that. There's no doubt women's sports have been coming on. They're doing well. But, you know, look at the National Women's Soccer League's great. But, like, nobody talks about how much money they lose. Remember back in the day when the WFL, the World Football League, all the stories started coming out about all the money they're losing. The USFL, about all the money they're losing. Right? The ABA, how much money they lost. The WHA, they're losing money, they're hanging on. But you never see those articles today, do you? I think everybody assumes that the TV ratings are great. You know, they're great. They're better. Okay, they're better. Are they great? We can debate that, but they're better. Right? Are they getting more money and more people in the seats? Yep, it's better. No question. But you never see articles written about money loss. Right? What is the single biggest losing proposition in the NCAA right now? And I know this for a fact, so this is not me guessing. Guess what the biggest single loser is, and it loses more money than the vast majority of NCAA championships combined. Which one is it?
Women's tournament.
Yep. It's been like that for a couple of decades. It's been like that for decades. Now, did they have a higher TV rating than the men this year for the Final Four? Absolutely. Right? Were they selling places out, especially when Caitlin Clark played? Absolutely. Those are all great, great pieces of news. Great. But the reality is they still lost money on it. They got a new TV deal. Up to $65 million. Great news. Great news. Except there's a problem with that. The men's tournament's $1 billion. Because that's the kind of money you need to make the engine fly where you're making profits to then help out other sports. Again, I'm not trying to, like, burst anybody's bubble here. But the problem is that in terms of reporting about this story, they're creating a bubble. I mean, if you were to ask the average fan right now, would they tell you the WNBA is making money after this past year?
I would guess yes.
Yeah. Are they? No. Right. So that's why I just found it in reading the article. Like, hey, look, hey, what did I say at the beginning? Strike while the iron is hot. So I completely understand exactly what the WNBA Players Association is trying to do. Right? And look, this is the perfect time for them to do it. And look, and they're not going to strike next year. This goes to the opt-out is on October 31st, 2025. Okay? So it's fine. It's smart. It's a great play. It, you know, if I were advising them, I'd tell them to do the same thing. Well, now's the time to do it. Right? You got a lot of things going your way in your direction. Do it. So I'd be behind them 100%. Right? But then there's the reality of it. And I'm reading it, and Kelsey's talking about, hey, we're doing this, and she's right. And then she got to the part and said, we need transparency. Kelsey, you don't want transparency. Now, I want transparency, but she shouldn't want transparency, okay? Because guess what? It's not going to come out well. That's the issue with it. I mean, people don't realize how much it takes to make money in sports these days. You know, I know we brought up the wrestling thing before, and I'm taking the numbers directly from what Penn State releases. And I've even privately asked a couple of people, like, how close are those numbers? They go, oh, no, we lose money. I'm like, okay. I got it. And I know they have endowments and so forth, which is a big plus. And I don't know how it works with the wrestling club. That part I'm not sure about. Okay? So I'm not going to pretend I know whether that kind of turns the corner of things. I don't know. You know, that's me being transparent with you. But I just take the pure numbers. They sell out. The popularity is off the charts. Kale does a tremendous job, the whole thing. But according to their numbers, which they release in transparency, they lose about $800,000 a year. Okay. Now, do I care? No. Because Penn State makes enough of a profit in football and some in men's basketball, it makes up for it. So I don't care. Right? You know, in other words, that's the way intercollegiate athletics works. Right? You've got some losing propositions in there. In fact, the vast majority are losing propositions financially. Right? And again, they'll play the word salad game. We're a revenue producer. Yeah, if Todd and I buy two tickets to go see, you know, let's say rugby's a varsity sport. We'll use one that's not a varsity sport. Say rugby's a varsity sport. Todd and I pay two tickets at $5 a piece to go watch them play. Did they produce revenue?
Certainly.
Of course. They're a revenue producer. Yep, there it is. Like, please, don't play word salad with me, okay? That's just not real. Okay? How much did you spend just to turn the lights on for the night game? It doesn't matter, though. They've got enough someplace else that makes up for all of it. Okay? That makes up for all of it. Yeah. But you need to have, you know, in Penn State's case, a huge now TV deal. Oh. I mean, it's a godsend. Penn State has a huge radio deal. Godsend. They're going to go all the way up to probably $21 million on the college football playoff distribution once the new contract kicks in. Godsend. I mean, that's how you get the money. That's how you get the money. It's through all these deals, corporate partnerships, things like that, you know, donations. I mean, that's how you get the money to make this thing flow and run. Right? And a lot of people, Bucknell's a great example. Okay? They're Division I in basketball, Division I in wrestling, okay? Baseball, so forth. But look, the ability to make money, You gotta be kidding me. Yeah. And it doesn't even count how much they paid Doug. Kidding, Doug.
You missed the one suit so much, we're gonna make another one.
Oh, the suit. You ask yourself, why isn't the suit doing Bucknell football this year? Okay. I mean, look. He was getting Tony Romo money. Can't afford that. Tony Romo.
Oh, I always thought it was Tony Romo money. Isn't that a closed Italian restaurant?
Oh, goodness gracious. You know what's really great? Is that you've now seen it my way. All right, back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
October is SUV month. SUV month at a Sunbury Motors Ford.
Sun, sun, ride with the sun, Sunbury.
From 32 new Ford Escapes and 25 new Ford Bronco Sports, both discounted $4,000. And they're on sale starting at just $28,965. Choose from 19 of the totally redesigned 2025 Ford Explorer that comfortably seats 7 passengers. And they're reduced $5,000 and priced from only $39,230. Sunbury Motors, located in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly owned by the Mertz family for 109 years. Hurry, sale ends October 31st.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
The suit told Learfield he's just as good as Tony Romo. I didn't say it was a bad argument. I'm just saying that that's my understanding. What? Oh, there you go. Like I said, they've got to strike while the iron's hot. They need, you know. I get it. I mean, I would have advised them to do it. Absolutely. And again, they got a whole year to negotiate. They'll get something done. It's no big deal. Matt, in a few minutes, figure we'd prepare everybody. And then it'll be Neil Kulong at 2:05.
You got about 8 minutes to get the Brewers outlet and back.
I don't know if there's enough there. What? What?
There's enough to share for everybody to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough for everybody to enjoy it.
No, I just think it's important to dull the pain. Yeah. You know, it's... Why is Daddy throw stuff at the TV? How come the TV doesn't break? There's all sorts of questions that are asked in that family. They're just not asked in other families. You know? So, yeah.
He's probably got the TV in the Pope bubble.
I don't even know if she pays attention.
It just, you know, you just bounce it off the bulletproof and shatterproof glass all the time.
I gotta wonder if there's shatterproof glass on that TV. All the stuff he throws.
Maybe she just replaced everything with Nerf.
Nerf. Did you see that? Well, Nerf TV, huh? Very interesting. That's what we need to do. We'll get him a Nerf TV.
In-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Multiple insurance needs means that you need pros to handle all of them. That's Purdy Insurance. Great people who are pros. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Go ahead, you can introduce them.
He has to call first.
I haven't even called yet. First he tells us he wants me on at 2:35. Then he tells us he wants me on at 1:35. Then we can't get a hold of him. Every time I turn around. Now. Yeah. So.
He's here.
All right, go ahead, let her rip.
Oh, man, it has been a fun, well, Saturday, I guess, was a Saturday into Sunday afternoon was a very fun 24 hours for me. This is a mostly happy rant this week, Steve Jones. It's been fun, let me tell you.
Well, let's see. The Indians don't have enough and had to play perfect to win. The Giants aren't good enough, and yet you're rejoicing. Okay, great. Did you beat the Padres? No. Did you beat the 49ers? No. Okay? All you did was enough to win. Okay? And have not been challenged. And not only that, Giancarlo Judge is not hitting.
Well, Giancarlo is Judge.
No, that's his new first.
He needs to be better still.
His new first name.
We'll see how that goes. But
his new first name is now Giancarlo Judge. His new first name is now Giancarlo Judge. He has taken over that mantle of the big name, big money guy. That when the money is on the table, he leaves it there.
I totally get it, and yeah, he needs to hit. I think he's going to win this series. He needs to come through and hit better. And
he's hitting 161.
They're going to lose this series.
He's hitting 161.
This is the first time that this team has actually gotten me believing. You know, I've been downing this team all year, but they now Judge hasn't specifically, but Soto and
Soto's been great
and Stanton. Those guys
Soto's
are coming with some big hits when they needed to.
Former State College Spike Tommy Edman, the National League Championship Series MVP, was exponentially more valuable to his team than your star.
Yeah, he was great. And he's going to just do the same thing. I don't think there's any question about that. I haven't been necessarily that impressed with the Dodgers pitching either.
You mean the You mean the team you mean the team that had three consecutive shutouts? You're not impressed with their pitching? Do you follow the games? Do you follow the games?
They gave up the other night to the Mets. Even in their wins. Ever since they had that streak that they had going on there.
They had three consecutive shutouts, four out of five games with shutouts. The other game they gave up two runs. That's five out of six. You're right. Shabby. In fact,
I'm not saying the Yankees are the best team. I just think that they've been clutch when they needed to be, and we'll see if they can do it again. I guess the Dodgers, like I said, my head tells me the Dodgers are going to win this. But I won this game in five, and won the series in five games. No, I do expect the Yankees are going to win a game in this series, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's no more than five games.
Gerrit Cole will start against undecided. Right now, undecided seems to have the edge.
Oh, come on now. I don't know about that. I mean, Gerrit Cole's very first start in the postseason.
How we doing, Todd?
Awesome.
It wasn't fantastic, but, you know, I still would want him in there for game. To me, the key to the Yankees is, can Rodon and Schmidt do what they did in their first starts? Can they do that again? Their second starts weren't great. They were okay, but they weren't great in their first starts in this series. That, to me, I think is key. Because if the Yankees only have Cole at his best, then that's not going to be enough. Because the Yankees bullpen, will back on. I need to see another clean game from them with how shaky things got in the Guardian series. But I think this is going to be either it may not last long, but I still think this is going to be a pretty interesting series, just because there's a couple of different unknowns, mostly on the Yankee side, to see what we get. But like I said, will I be shocked if they lose in five games? No. Will I be shocked if they win the series? No. With the way they've been hitting the ball in the clutch, not necessarily guys named Aaron Judge, but it's guys that have been hitting in the clutch. So this is a very fascinating series. I don't really have a good total read on how this is going to go. I don't think the Yankees necessarily need to win Game one. They just need to get a split in L.A. and then see what they can do at Yankee Stadium.
He's hitting 39 points below Mario Mendoza.
Listen, I get it. He has been. There's no question. And I've ripped him for when he hasn't been. His biggest hit so far, obviously, is what happened in Game 3. Now they didn't win the game. But
that's one of the things. Like big home run to win.
He does have to be better. But Stanton and Soto have been tremendous.
Stanton and Soto have been great. I think Volpe's been really good too.
Yes, yeah. And it's about time that he's finally consistent. And the Yankees also need to make sure that they keep their heads on the swivel when they're running the bases, because some of that stuff's been unacceptable too, with the way that they've been running the bases. I mean, that has to be better. You can't give the Dodgers free outs or free runs either.
Well,
I mean, that stuff's going to come back to haunt you too at some point. And the Yankees, I think, still can be better with hitting in runners in scoring position. That still wasn't great in the Guardian series. I think it needs to be better, especially early on in the game. Later on, it's kind of been flip flop. Regular season, they were good early on in the game and not so much later in the game, but it's kind of flip-flopped in the postseason. They've been better when they needed to be late in the game, but early in the game, when they have a chance to get on the opponent, they haven't done that. And that's the reason Game 5 when they won.
At least
they had bases loaded in the first inning, two on with nobody out in the first inning. They got nothing out of it. That stuff you have to do as well if you're going to beat this Dodger team.
Tickets top $1,300 on the resale market, according to Warren Buffett.
Safe to say I will not be heading there unless I hit the lottery, which is not going to happen. And in fact, game one is opposite of our final Friday night game of the week for the regular season. So I wouldn't be able to have gone anyway, even though the game's in L.A. But, safe to say I'll just be watching from the comforts of home, which is fun.
It's interesting. It's going to be the look, if you had to pick a series where it gave Major League Baseball the best chance at ratings, this is it, right? No question. Brand names, big stars, Otani, Betts, Judge, Stanton, Soto, Cole, big names, right? Everything. I'm wondering if they're still going to top 10 million viewers.
It wouldn't surprise me, honestly. I mean, especially
just the way it's been.
Game two on a Saturday night. You'll be competing against Monday Night Football for game three on Monday. And then Friday night, we've talked about, are people going to be home to watch if you're at a high school football game, especially on the East Coast? So, yeah, I don't disagree with that. But this is definitely Major League Baseball's best shot.
It's the best
for Major League Baseball to happen in that case, too, because you and I have talked about, Steve, what they need to do to get the game better and whatnot. And I think ever since they made some of the rule changes to speed the game up, I think the game is slowly getting popular again, but it hasn't gotten quite over the top yet. And I don't know if it will either this series, but it's heading in the right direction.
Yeah. By the way, one quick note for everybody before we move on. If you watched the Oregon game, you saw Josh Simmons, the left tackle for Ohio State, go out of the game. Turns out he is out for the rest of the season. They confirmed that today, and Zen Bukalski, who stepped into the game, will be the starting left tackle against Nebraska. So we just thought, I want to make sure we got that in there before we move forward and got to your incredible praise of the Eagles beating Vanderbilt.
Well, now as far as the Eagles go, listen, they still have offensively, they still have plenty to grow from, and there's still plenty a lot to be concerned about. Defensively, though, I think there's actually some improvement. I get it. You played the Browns, and you played the Giants offensive line that didn't have Andrew Thomas yesterday.
My goodness, Shikalimi would have improved against those teams. What are you talking about?
I think the defensive unit as a whole, including the defensive line, has been showing some actual improvement. I'm not saying they're perfect. They're going to be like this dominant defense, but they're playing better. And I think pretty much since the Saints game, they have been playing better. And you've got 12 sacks now in the last two games. Again, I get the opponents, but I think this is a good confidence booster for the unit, especially for the defensive line when you're relying on guys like Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Nakobe Dean, Josh Sweat, etc. And they all have had at least one sack in these last two games. I think that's encouraging, and they still only gave up 3 points, and that was a drive at the end of the half when the offense didn't have the greatest play calling. I think they kind of got set up a little bit when the Giants had the short field at the end of the half. And
I think
Vic Fangio a lot of credit. He's starting to win me over a little bit because of his adjustments too, going to these 5-6 man fronts. All of a sudden, defending the run is better. It's not great, but it's better. It's opened up the pass rush a little bit. So I think there's something to see defensively, but offensively, the play calling is still not great. Jalen Hurts is still not seeing things well from the pocket. At least he hasn't turned the ball over the last two games. Those are some of my biggest takeaways from him. But here's the thing with the Eagles on offense, though, and it looks like Nick Sirianni maybe has finally gotten the message based on what he said in his press conference yesterday. But again, I'll believe it till I see it. The Eagles, I think, are back to what they were in 2021, where they need to be, and they're best being a run-first team to set up big plays in the passing game. Now, the difference between this team and 2021 is they have more weapons, and they didn't have A.J. Brown then. Now they do. And I think if the Eagles can stick to that formula, then I think things will continue to improve and open up. They have to stick with the run. You have to surround this offense around Saquon Barkley. There's no question around it.
It's all FG. You're asking what FG is. Fool's gold. All right, so...
Hey, maybe it is. Like, I'm cautiously optimistic about the Raiders.
They played a bad team.
The team in general.
Okay, they played a bad team.
They have a favorable schedule, too, but again, they have to play
favorable.
To their potential to it.
They got the Bengals. They got the Jaguars. I mean, jeez. I mean, good Lord.
I know. But they got to take care of
what's
business.
Next?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a favorable schedule right now.
What's next? The University of New Mexico? Come on. Come on. Jeez. Handing him the silver platter. Who put this schedule together?
The NFL, apparently.
They handed him softballs. Ah, when are they going to play somebody?
You just got to play what's in front of you. What can I say?
Chiefs are out there playing San Francisco on the road.
Yeah, but San Francisco basically lost their entire offense.
You played the Giants. You have nothing to talk about.
You're using that as an example with the Chiefs
the
and who they play. Now, they have played some tough opponents. I get that. But San Francisco, they basically have an arm and leg left right now on that team with the amount of injuries they have.
The Giants don't even practice taking a knee. The Giants don't even practice taking a knee.
I know. Of course they don't. The Eagles took care of business. That's what they need to do these next few weeks is take care of business.
Yeah. Well-coached unit. All right. At least he didn't get in a fight with the fans this time.
Yes, that was a plus. Yes, I'm pretty sure he learned his lesson with. Pretty sure.
What are you talking about? He did it back-to-back weeks, learned his lesson.
Now he finally got the backlash is what I'm talking about. But, listen, nothing would surprise me with this guy. You know that by now. And like I said, if the Eagles can put themselves in a good position, we'll see. But like I said, I'm still cautiously optimistic, and there's still a lot of question marks. But it was a fun win on Sunday. It was a very fun win.
I think it's appropriate that the Giants and the Carolina Panthers, when they meet November 10th, will be playing out of the country. All right, so...
Which, again, just brings us back to this all you need to know of how stupid these games out of the country are. Because this is the product we're putting out there. The Giants and the Panthers.
Yeah.
The Jaguars twice, etc.
Don't the Eagles play the Jaguars and Giants three times in their schedule?
Well, now twice. The Giants one more time and the Jags in 2 weeks. Now at 4:05 on CBS, on Sunday Night Football.
Excuse me, that equals how many? Three? Okay, so thank you.
That's correct.
Do you listen to what I'm saying?
One down, two to go.
That's 20% of their schedule. All right. Oh, good boy. We're a Super Bowl team. Okay. Sure you are. I understand you put all your money on Bronny James to be the Rookie of the Year.
Oh, yeah, all the way.
And a full healthy 82 for Embiid, right?
That's
been brought up.
He's out the first week.
What they're doing is a downright disgrace.
But he's out
and
the first week.
I'll tell you one thing. It's the same old song that they've been singing and just not being entirely truthful what they're trying to do with Joel Embiid. Just come out and say it. You're scared to death that he's going to get hurt, and you want to make sure you have him for the postseason. Just say it. It's fine. I get it. Do I agree with it? No. But just say it. Because you're still leaving that doubt out there that maybe something happened, whether it was in the Olympics that nobody reported on or during the preseason or whatever, that he's not healthy enough to play. And I've even said it. He should not have played in the Olympics. I don't care if he would have gotten the experience from it, from playing with all these players and learning how to win this, that, and the other thing. I don't care if he's lost 25 or 30 pounds. He should not have played in the Olympics for this reason alone, because the Sixers need him on the court. And guess what? The Eastern Conference is stacked, as we all know. And if you don't get to the point to put yourself in the postseason, what good is it anyway if he's healthy enough for the playoffs?
Yeah,
there's a way to do this, and you have to get off to a good start. Mm-hmm. So, and also too, it's a slap in the face to the fan base who thinks they're going to see the new big three for the Sixers, and two out of three aren't going to play now.
Right.
Now, Paul George was legitimately hurt in a preseason game, which again I also called upon when the Sixers signed this guy to watch out, because this guy is not going to be reliable for the Sixers. And lo and behold, he hurts his knee already, and he's not going to play for the first game of the season. But this thing with Embiid, total slap in the face. He should be out there for game one. Let him play a couple of games, and then you can do this ridiculous load management. But to start it now when the regular season hasn't even started, please spare me.
Yeah, he's out the first week of the season, and Paul George will not play at least the opening game. So, yeah, it's an 82-game schedule. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're in a good mood this week.
And don't forget, not only will I be watching the World Series Game 1 after my game Friday night, because it's going to lead me right into Rutgers USC, baby. Oh, that's because that's what I'm looking for the most. Rutgers USC right after the World Series.
Actually,
brilliant job, Fox. And then take the big noon kickoff away from Penn State and Ohio State yet again. You're so brilliant at what you do, Fox. Just brilliant. I can't wait for Rutgers USC.
Well, actually, I'm going to watch Boise State UNLV Friday night, because I haven't really seen Ashton Genty play, and I think it's a pretty good matchup. So I'm actually going to watch more of that. So,
and that would be the better matchup to watch. Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
but don't try and sell me that you're putting Penn State and Ohio State at, so you have the big noon, you have control of that, and then you're so excited to have the New York and L.A. markets to have them after they watch the World Series. After they watch the World Series, at least people on the East Coast, they're going to bed. They're not staying up to watch Rutgers and USC. Please. Don't insult my intelligence, Fox Sports, because you already do that enough when I listen to your ridiculous programming anyway.
So we can count you out?
I think so.
Todd,
if you wanted to actually have ratings for a college football game at night, put Penn State and Ohio State at night with the whiteouts.
I mean, Todd, did I read the room right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just maddening, and at this point it's just laughable. But the fact that they keep doing this to themselves and putting that game at noon and not at night when you know you have the audience for it, regardless of where you put it, because you want to act like you're the big kahunas in college football, which you're not. It's still ESPN, and then you're trying to brag about that you're going to have the New York LA market all night after the World Series with Rutgers USC. I mean, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that is just beyond stupid.
Well, none of us can. I remember talking to Guido D'Elia on the network show back in September, maybe, at Guido One. And he said it used to be they could sit down, they could talk to the networks, and like, hey, let's work it out, and you have more pull. He says now, he says you have no pull at all. You're really at the mercy of what they do. So, yeah. All right, well, at least you didn't lose your voice screaming this week.
Hey, but no, despite those couple of nonsensical items, it's all good. It is all good. I look forward to Friday night. And we'll see what the Eagles do. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, it's the regular season finale. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Appreciate it.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
See ya. Did I read the room right with him? I'm just making sure.
Pretty much.
Yeah. A little concerned. Yeah. All right. Next half hour, Neil Kulwong. You're on this radio 1070 WKOK. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.